Rashi, we were in the middle of Rashi, Pasik Vav, Rav Tava Hashem Yislachla. Okay, Vashem Yislachla, Pasik Vav, I'll read the Pasik again very quickly. V'im, Heini Avi Oisab Yom Shama Oy. If a father will Heini, Heini means to withhold. We spent time on this yesterday. V'im Heini Avi Oisab Yom Shama, he will withhold her on the day that he hears about her vow. Then call Nidurecha v'yesorecha shirashon nafshon lo yokum. Then all of her vows, all of the esorecha refers back to the oaths, to the shavuos. All of the shavuos shirashon nafshon lo yokum. They will not be established. Then it says these very bizarre words, v'Hashem yislachla, Hashem will forgive her, ki heini avio yis, Hashem will forgive her, because her father has withheld her. Those are very hard words to translate. Okay, Hashem, let's see Rashi. Rashi, v'Hashem yislachla, Bamo hakosav medaber. Why does she need forgiveness? The word yislach automatically has a connotation that she did something wrong. What did she do wrong? She took an oath. She made a neder. Why is that osur? There are times when not only is it permitted, it's advisable to take a nedarim. Yaakov Avinu, he made a neder. Im yelakim modi shmarani baderech hazeh shanochi holech v'nosni lechem lecha vegel ilbosh. Yaakov Avinu, he took an oath and he was commended for taking an oath. So what exactly over here is the problem? What here is the problem in this pasuk? So Rashi says, by the way, a woman can be a nazira. People don't know that. People think that the only one that can be a nazir is a man. That's not true. What happened over here? I lost you. I hope you didn't go away. What happened here? You still there? You still see me? One second.
See you and hear you.
Okay, something happened on my screen. Okay. So what the Ma'a Kasim, what is Pasuk referring to? Ma'a Kasim, a woman can be a nazir. People think that a woman cannot be, only a man can be a nazir. That's patently false. It's a Mishnah. A woman can be a nazir just like a man. It's a world of equal opportunity. She will not go to the cemetery. She does not drink anything, any part of the vine. Vishama Bala. And her husband heard that she is in...
Nazir can drink schnapps?
Yes. Yes, only sheikha, only wine, only a product of the vine, yes. A nazir is allowed to drink alcohol that comes from sources other than wine. Okay, there are many different types of alcohol. Not all alcohol is the same. V'shama ba'al v'hefila v'hila yida'a. Husband hers and his maidfriend, he and she does not know. So her husband was eavesdropping on her. He was spying on her. And the husband knows that she was mekabel upon herself a term of nazirus, and he annulled it, but she did not know. And then what happens? Vayveres al nidra. And then she could not control herself. She drinks a glass of wine. Veshoysa yayin. And she drinks wine. Or umetamo lemesim. She contaminates to the dead. So she in her mind thinks that she is guilty because she accepted upon herself in the zeus. And she is not aware that her husband found out and that her husband annulled her vow. So the question is, does she really, then later on, she finds out her husband tells her, you know, I overheard you telling your friend that you're a nazir, and I was immediately mefer your nazirus. So she says, Baruch Hashem, because from the time that I told my friend that I'm a nazir, and now I had 10 glasses of wine, and I went to 10 funerals. So it's a good thing that you have annulled my vow. So retroactively, I was never a nazir. I did not do any sins. So this is a very powerful yisod in yadus. No. This woman, since at the time when she drank the wine and when she went to the cemetery, she did not yet know that her husband annulled her vow, she is guilty as sin. Zoihi shetzricha slicha. This woman needs forgiveness. The afal pi shahum mufar. Even though the vow indeed is mufar, she needs forgiveness because in her mind she was guilty. V'im, and here comes Rashi, makes a kal v'chaymer. V'im hamufarin tzrichen slicha. If people who really technically did nothing wrong need forgiveness. Kal v'choymer l'she'enon mufarin. People who no one annulled their aver, how much more so do they need to be forgiven? So that's what it says in the pasuk, V'Hashem yislach la, ki heini avio isa. The word ki, according to Rashi, means despite. This is a very unusual word, the word ki. Hashem will forgive her even though her father has prevented her, despite the fact that her husband has prevented her from being in violation, still she is in need of forgiveness, and Hashem will be so kind and gracious to forgive her. It's a very complex translation of these words. These words are telling us again, Hashem yislach la ki heinio v'yoisa. You have to read the words backwards. Despite the fact that her father prevented her from being in violation of the halacha of Afaras Nedarim, despite the fact, she still needs atonement because she did not know that her father annulled her vow, and Hashem is so kind to indeed forgive her. Now this reveals to us, we have to appreciate something over here. The word Yislach La is not found very often in the Torah. The word Slicha is Solachti Kidvorecha. Okay, Solachti Kidvorecha. I want you to contrast that expression versus the expression over here, V'Hashem Yislach La. In the words V'Yom Hashem Solachti Kidvorecha was said by the Meraglim. When the Meraglim sinned, alright, Mayevsky always corrects her. Mayevsky is here. He's online with us today. He always, right here, here he is. Yes, he is. Mayevsky, V'Hashem Yislach La is said by the Meraglim, correct?
Right.
So the Meraglim, so there, the only reason why Hashem forgave the Jewish people was because Solachti Kidvorecha. Moshe, if not for you begging, asking, inquiring, I wouldn't forgive them. It's Solachti Kidvorecha. By the Nazir in this pasuk, the Slicha is much greater. V'Hashem Yislach La. No one asked Hashem to bring about forgiveness. No one did anything. And yet, V'Hashem Yislach La. Hashem will forgive her. Now, it's very, very deep. There's a lot of drush here. It's not a Friday shir, but we can't avoid pointing this out. Is V'Hashem Yislach La. It's not Solachti Kidvarecha. It's V'Hashem Yislach La. That's an incredible statement for Hashem on his own to come along and give forgiveness. Even in this case is the spitz. Because in this case, the woman didn't ask for forgiveness. She didn't even ask for forgiveness. She thought that she did an Avera. And then she discovered, oh, guess what? I didn't do an Avera. I'm off the hook. So from both studim, when she was a Mezida, she took the cup of Yayin, she basically said to Hashem, Hashem, I'm now going to sin. L'shem yichud kudush abrichu, I'm going to do an Avera. Baruch atah Hashem k'edim el cholam, I'm doing an Avera. Make a special bracha on doing Averis. You did not. So you deserve forgiveness for that? No way. Then she discovers a week later she didn't do an Avera because there was no Nazirus. Her husband annulled the Nazirus retroactively. Wonderful. Wonderful. I didn't do an Avera. So I certainly don't need you, Hashem, to forgive me. And yet, even though from both tzadim, from both angles, she's surrounded in 360 degrees with denial that she needs forgiveness. V'Hashem Yislach La, I forgive you nevertheless. When you did the Avera, you couldn't care less about me. When you discover that you really didn't do the Avera, oh, it's human nature. Look at that. My husband was made for my Nazirus. I was never a Nazir. I didn't do anything wrong. I don't need you, Hashem. I don't need to clap al chait this year because I didn't do anything wrong. That's human nature. Hashem says, you were wicked when you drank the wine. Even though now it turns out that you were not technically guilty, but still the kavana of drinking the wine was an avera because in your mind you still thought that it was forbidden. So you're never going to come ask me for forgiveness. And you know what? I'll still forgive you. Why? Why is Hashem here so gracious? to forgive her. When it came to the Meraglim, when it came to the Meraglim, Hashem wasn't so gracious. You know what the answer is? The Pasuk says, you know why Hashem forgives her? Ki heini avia oisa. Because her father cares about her. When Hashem sees that one Jew cares about another Jew, then Hashem says, I want to be a partner with you. By the Meraglim, no one except for Moshe Rabbeinu really cared. The whole Klal Yisrael says, who cares about Eretz Yisrael? Here, a father sees his daughter is embarking on a mission that she cannot possibly succeed. She wants to be a Nazir. The father says, he overhears, he eavesdrops, and he hears what's going on. He says, this kid over here, this 12-year-old, doesn't know what she's doing. She'll never make it. A whole month without being metama lemeisa, not drinking wine. Oy, gewalt, I don't want my child to be nichshol. I care about my child, my tochter. I care about her. I care about her. When the Ribbono shel Olam sees that one person cares about someone else, even a father for a child, which is natural, it's only natural, but that's so meaningful to Hashem that you look after, you nurture the midah of caring. Hashem says, you know something? I want to be your partner. You, the father, wanted to prevent your daughter from stumbling because you annulled the vow. You obviously realize there's no way your daughter's going to make it. I also want to forgive her. I also want to be your partner in this. You can read the pasuk, V'Hashem, you know why? V'Hashem yislach lo. You know why Hashem forgives her? Ki heini avi oisa. Because her father withheld her. Because her father cared enough to prevent her from going down the wrong path. I'll be your partner. The pshuta shel mikra is this complex pshat merag. The only way you can come to the drush is only when you first understand the pshuta shel mikra. The pshuta shel mikra is V'Hashem yislach lo. Ki heini avi oisa. You go backwards. Her father annuls the vow. And now it turns out that she technically did not do anything wrong. But the pasuk is coming to teach you that even though technically you did nothing wrong, but because you had a kavana to do something wrong, that's already called an avera. And Hashem says, no, and for that I'll forgive you. And now when we appreciate that principle, we have to analyze this whole situation that from 360 degrees, this woman is in denial. She denies. When she did the Avera, she did it lahachis. When she discovers that she did nothing wrong, she's off scot-free. She doesn't even, it's human nature not to feel you did anything wrong. And Hashem says, you were wrong all across the board, and I'll forgive you. Why? Why is Hashem so generous to forgive when it comes to the miraculum? Solachti kidvorecha. If not for you, Moshe Rabbeinu, begging me and asking me, I won't even give you a second look. It's because here, this kiheni oivi oisa, there's someone here that's involved. There's some human emotion, human element. It's an amazing thing to see human beings today. Okay? Most people turn into robots today. Everything is all a matter of liability. That's the name of the game. The whole corona season, it's one word, liability. You have to behave. You have to behave based upon the rules of liability. Not based on the rules of humanity. We are see sahayosher vehatoyv. I'm not saying chashon. There was no chesed. There was more chesed done during Corona than decades. The last 20 years, you go combine all the incredible acts of chesed. It's not to be believed. But zelum azeh, the same way there were a lot of incredible acts of chesed that is unprecedented. There's a lot of frustration out there, and a lot of very bizarre things, bizarre decisions that people have made and have done. Why? Not because of the good of man. It's because my personal liability. I don't want to be. I want to be 100%. I want to have all my bases covered, whether I'm right or am I wrong. I don't know. You know, it's not who's to judge. You know, but there's something doesn't smell right. There's something that doesn't seem right. Who could judge? I certainly would not have been any better. I would have made. I used to complain about people that are corrupt, people that I know in my life that are corrupt. And I would always say, if I was in their shoes, I would have been 10 times worse. How do I know it? Because I was. And I was 10 times worse. So you can't really judge. You can't judge other people you don't really know what would be. Okay, now, that idea, put aside, we did the Rashi. Very profound Rashi. Let's see the Targum very quickly. Right, Targum here says, Pasik, Va v'im adi avu'o yosa b'yoma d'shma. On the day, b'yoma d'shma, the day of Shema. For some reason here in the Art Scroll, it puts that word in bold. When the Art Scroll edition of the Unkelus puts it in bold, it's telling you that there's a commentary on the word Dishma. I'm curious, I didn't see what it said over here. Verse 6, what does it say over here? It's not even here. I can't, what's going on over here? On the day that he heard her vow, number eight. Even if this day was some days after she actually made the neder. B'yoyma shame oy. All right, let's leave that. Kol nidro ve'esoro di asaras al nafshol lo yikumun. Now here's a very interesting word. This is big topic of discussion. V'Hashem yislach lo. Hashem will forgive her. Targum says umin kodom Hashem yishtibek la. What does that mean? Abandon. Yishtibek. Hashem will abandon. From before Hashem, the word kodom is also a little bizarre. What's the kodom? Va Hashem, the vav adds the word kodom. Yishtibek la. Hashem will abandon Arei Adi Avua Yosa because her father has prevented her from sinning. What's Yishtibek? So here in the Art Scroll, just to get going, the end of Pasuk 6, it says here, pardon. They translate the word Yishtibek to mean pardon. That's not really a good word. I don't know why they did that. And in 9, in the note, he doesn't say anything. Okay. However, Baruch Hashem for this sefer called the Ma'at Sari came to the rescue, and he has a ganza pilpul here, and he says over here, Ladas Unkelis Perish Salicha Hu Azivas Ha'Oinish. He's building this upon the Ramban. This is a Ramban. What exactly is Salicha? There's Salicha, there's Kapara, and there's Mechila. If you have more words to add to the list, it's probably another 10 words. What's the difference? Anyone know the difference? Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, Tahira. What's the difference? All of these different words, the many different words. So it appears that the Targum learns the word Slicha is the lowest level. Certainly, if you look in the commentators, you'll find many Perushim and the difference to define the difference between these different words. As soon as Yom Kippur, before you blink with Yom Kippur. Slicha, Mechila, Kapara, Mechila, Tahara, Libun, all these words, what do they mean? There are certain words that mean Hashem completely forgot about it. The record is clean. On your driver's license, do you know that the record, you get points? Or if you commit a violation, it's on your record, I think, for 3 years. And after 3 years, gone. I don't believe that. That's totally gone in today's day and age with all this record keeping. But supposedly, there are certain things, crimes in society, when society was more complex. I don't know how it works today, but years ago, it used to be that if you commit a crime, you did an aveira, you pay the price, and it lingers. But society is willing at a certain point in time to forgive you. And it was even written into the laws. You commit a crime, you drive, you're speeding, going 100 miles an hour. They give you a big, massive ticket, so you pay the price. You get points on your license. So you right away got to pay. Costs money, got to pay. Then there's a long-term effect. Points, which is, you're worried. What's going to be? You can lose your license. You accumulate points. But then it comes a point in time, macholach. We call mach, it's those points that are on your license, they just dissipate. They disappear off the face of the earth. When a person does an aver against Hashem, and then a person says to Hashem, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu, what happens? How does all of this work? No one came back to tell us exactly, but the Targum Unkelus seems to say is that Slicha means Hashem is still very angry. He's very angry. He did an avera, and he didn't forget about it. And there are consequences. But right now, you owe $300 for speeding? I will forget about that. We'll put that aside. Yislach, the translation of the word Yislach, has the Targum Yishtebek. All Yishtebek means Hashem, he lets go. He abandons. Now this idea is really what he's doing over here. He's not really telling you the correct pshat. He's just telling you, look at the Ramban. And the Ramban discusses this. And it could be the Ramban actually quotes this Targum. I don't know. The Ramban says, Slicha means Hashem is angry. You were supposed to get a fine. There are long-term constantly of points. And it's going to be a problem in the future. But right now, I'll let go of the ticket. I'll just let go. Letting go doesn't mean I forgot about it. It doesn't mean that you have changed my attitude towards you going forward. There are consequences. But the first thing is let go. Release your hands. Don't hold us prisoner. Don't punish us. Letting go does not connote that you are buddy-buddy like olden days. You'll sit down and have a beer. The Targum here says, V'Hashem yislach lo. Hashem will just let go, not going to punish him. Now, the Targum appears to be saying something completely the opposite of Rashi. The Targum seems to be saying is, Hashem is very angry. Rashi says that if you learn Rashi, Rashi says, what happened? Oh, look what happened over here. Over here, there's a young lady, a young woman. She does an avera, and she's makabel upon herself to be a nazir, and then she drinks wine, and then she doesn't know that her father annulled her vow. Then it turns out that her father annulled her vow. Oh, look at that! The default is, according to Rashi, my husband, my father, you have annulled my nazirus retroactively? That's wonderful news. I never did anything wrong. That means that when I drank that glass of wine, I was not doing anything wrong. That's wonderful. I'm so happy. So, which basically means is that I'm buddy-buddy with Hashem. No. You didn't, in your mind, you did an avera. And for that, you have to do teshuvah. And when you'll do teshuvah, then it will be buddy-buddy all over again. Uncle is saying just the opposite. Uncle is saying is, Hashem is furious. The starting point is, you think for one moment that you're off the hook? It's nonsense. You accepted upon yourself to become a Nazira. You then drank wine. If in your mind you believe that you are a Nazir, and you drink wine, you are as guilty as it gets. You don't get more guilty than this. If you now discover a week later that your father or husband annulled your nazirus, all that means is Hashem will just let go of the punishment. But the sin? Of course you're a sinner. The Targum's choice of language puts us in the opposite frame of mind than Rashi. Rashi, you get the impression that when this woman finds out that her father annulled her vow, she is scot-free. That's the starting point. The starting point is, the best news I could hear today is that my father annulled my vow last week, retroactively, so that means I did nothing wrong. Nothing. I'm buddy-buddy with Hashem. That's the starting point. And now Rashi says, but you know, the Pasuk says, V'Hashem yislach lo, to coming to teach you a lesson. No, even though in your mind you're off the hook, you have to do teshuva. And if you'll do teshuva, then I'll forgive you. Unkelis is just the opposite. Is you drank the wine, you thought you were a nazir, and then you find out that your father annulled it. Who cares? Who cares? Just because my father annulled my vow retroactively, did I know? No one told me. No one broke me the good news. So therefore, when I drank that glass of wine, I was guilty. Telling me now that my father annulled my vow retroactively doesn't change anything. The starting point is, who cares? It's all up to me. If in my mind I'm not allowed to do this, I'm guilty. So the starting point is, I'm toast. I'm finished. I'm a bal avera. So Hashem now says, that's right. I'll just let go of one element of what you're going to get for what you did to me. Because since your father annulled the vow, so there's grounds to be a little bit lenient. But you're right. You're guilty as sin. There appears to be between Rashi and Unkelis a major, major machlokes. What is bothering Rashi? What does Rashi need to tell us this drush? What is he telling us this drush over here? Rashi could have selected a million drushes. He selected this drush. It's a complex drush. It doesn't even fit into the pasuk. What does he do? What's bothering Rashi, what doesn't allow Rashi to sleep at night, is Unkelis. Unkelis uses the word Vashem Yislach La, and you know what Slicha means? It means you're in a lot of trouble. I'll see you tomorrow in the principal's office. And the only difference is that instead of me taking out a yardstick and smacking you across the face 10 times, I'll smack you across the face 9 times. That's what Hashem Yislach La means. I'll let go of a little bit. Because technically, your father annulled the vow. You have some insurance. But you're guilty. Let's not make any... This is not a mechila. This is not a kapara. This is not... what are the other words that we said? Mechila, kapara, whatever they are. This is selicha. I'll let go. I'll let go of one little element of what you really deserve. When Rashi hears that, Rashi says, no, I disagree with you. I totally disagree with you. It's a hashkafa in life. That's not the way you live. You don't live looking. Rashi is saying, this is a different type of approach to life. Rashi is saying, don't live your life always looking to knock yourself. There are enough pitfalls in life where you can knock yourself. You got a break. You got a break here. You did an avera lahachis. It turns out you really didn't do an avera. So what do you have to go be hard on yourself more than necessary? Vashem yislach lanu. You did an avera. It turns out it wasn't an avera. Don't just ignore what happened. You know, do a little teshuva, a little bit. But you're right. If you didn't do an avera, don't worry. You want to knock yourself. Got plenty of skeletons in the closet. Don't worry. We'll come after you. This is what appears to be, I think, a little bit of a tam of Rashi and Unkelis based upon this very fascinating translation of Yislach. Yish to bake, to abandon, to let it go. I'm going to let it go. When you let something go, it doesn't mean like, you know, how many times do you have situations that it's hard to really capture the meaning of Yish to bake. How many times do you see things that get you angry? This is not right. And you say to yourself, I should really go call up the mayor, call up the president, I should go call up this kid's father and give him mussar. I should really write a letter to the editor of the newspaper. I should really go march on Washington. And what do you say to yourself? I'm really angry, but you know something? I just don't have time for this now. It's just a can of worms. I'm going to go, I see a guy talking during the Chazor Sashatz. I'm going to go over to him and curse him out, make an enemy for the rest of my life. It's not worth it for me. Does that take away from me my anger, my disappointment, my frustration in seeing a person do an Avera? No, it doesn't. You're talking during davening, you're good for nothing. Get out of here. What are you davening in the shul for? Well, who needs you? I'm just as angry. But is it worth it for me to go become a Pinchas, take out my spear, and stab him? Let go. Let go. Let go of your anger, of your desire to seek vengeance. Letting go, yishtabek, is let it go. Let it go. You're right. He did an avera. He's a troublemaker. But that's life. You can't fight every battle. But the avla is recorded. That is what the Targum says. And that is a fascinating starting point to understand what happened here with this little girl and her father. And Rashi says, Mamish pumfakert. Pumfakert, the complete opposite. She finds out on Shabbos that her father was made for neder. She's jumping for joy. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. Nothing. Zero. Zero. You know, you should know you did something wrong. You know, the whole approach is mikotze el kotze in Rashi and the Unglis. Okay, let's now go to the next part. The pasuk Zayin. Zayin is a weapon. The im.
You brought to our attention and seems to not fit in. Umin kadam. Why is Unkelus adding those two words? That softens the blow.
Umin kadam Hashem yishtabek la. From before Hashem. I don't know what it means. I hear what you're saying. I don't know.
But I think that's what it means. That's what he's telling us. It's retroactive. You're forgiven. It's not. I don't see where it's. I don't see that wall.
Yishtabek means to let go. It's light. Ramban says this.
There's a difference between kapara and slicha. That's what happened by the Meragla. They all died in the midbar. So what kind of an islaf lehem? I told you that's what the Abarbanel explained.
It's just a temporary stay.
It was pushed off.
Pushed off. It was pushed off.
For 30 years. But they were killed for it. Slicha is not kapara.
Pasuk Zayin.
Yom Kippur, not Yom
Slicha. Yom Kippur. But Kapara also, Chazal say, is not total. Kapara also means to cover. Kapara is a higher madrega than Slicha, but it's not Mechila. Mechila is the lashon of to wipe out entirely. Kapara means to cover it. There's a Pasuk that talks about that utensils in the base of Hamish, a cover.
In the word kapara here, Rashi's not in that.
Right, Rashi is saying the word slicha. Slicha, there are three levels. There are different interpretations, but one mahalach is slicha is the lowest level. And then comes kapara, and then comes mechila. Mechila is where it's wiped away, it's off the record. Talk about, it's like a person gets a ticket. So you get, right away there are two things that happen. You have to pay a fine and your points. So the fine, so if you get slicha, you don't have to pay the fine. If you get kapara, then they wipe it off the record. That you don't have points either. But there's still a record that you were on trial. It's still recorded that you came to court and you were a defendant. That's not good. If you're gonna run for mayor, Mark, and they're gonna have it on record that you went to court, even you stood in court. Then there's mechila. There's not even a record that you were in court. You never even went to court. Different madregot of cleansing the reality of sin. Pasuk Zayin. V'im hayoyis yelish. Let's say now. Until now, it says the pasuk vav address when she's not married. She's a single girl when she's between the age of 12, really between the 18 months. We discussed this yesterday. Technically from 12 years until 12 years and 6 months, but we learned yesterday, Pu'utois, a woman who is even 11 years in one day, until that first year, if she's taken to a psychologist who tells us that she has enough seichel to know what's going on, then she also is subject to her vows. Vim hoyosia le'ish. Let's say she's married. Unidorecho olecho. And there is a vow upon her. Her vows are upon her. Oy miftosif oseha, asher oshal nafsha. That expression refers to an oath. It's a little poetic here. Okay, let's see over here the Rashi. Is the Rashi and Pasuk Zayin? I don't believe so. No, there is Rashi. Vim hoyos yelish. Let's say she is l'ish. What does that mean? The word hoyos, this is sugi mesachta kiddushin. Zo arusa. Rashi right away states there are two parts to marriage. Then we don't do this anymore. Today, in the time of Chazal, a wedding, and under the chuppah, there are two glasses of wine. There's the erisin, and then there is the nisuin. And between the erisin and the nisuin, we take a break. How do you take a break? The rabbi makes a drasha. Today, people don't want to hear a rabbi make a drasha, so instead they read the ksuba to be mafsik between the erisin and the nisuin. The Masada Kedusha makes the birchas erisin. That makes the woman totally forbidden. Until now, she can marry anyone that she wants. Now that the man gives her the Tabas Kedushin, she's forbidden to marry anyone in the entire world, and she's also forbidden to her husband. She's stuck between a rock and a hard place. Nowhere. Then when she makes Nisuin, they do Nisuin, they make the seven blessings under the chuppah, he takes her into his reshus, then she becomes permitted to her husband. It's a very bizarre process for a woman to get married. She goes from a state of total freedom. Goes from mamash extremes. She goes from a state of total freedom to a state of total iser, extremism, mikotze elakotze, and then she emerges into a state where she's only permitted to be with one person. That's the musr of life. In order to find the one person that you're connected to, you have to go into darkness, into a state of oblivion. That's what happens. Isn't that what happens by marriage? So therefore, if a woman who is an arusa, she has erisin, and then she makes a vow, the husband can be made for the neder. So think about it. You're under the chuppah. It's made under the chuppah. And you have a woman, she makes a vow. Now, by the way, the woman can be any age.
She was engaged for a year, but she's still living at home.
Right, that's not really called engagement. Right, in the time of Chazal, there was a year gap between the erisin and the nisuin. Today we do it in one shot.
Right. So her husband has the right, but she's still living with her father.
Right, during that year. But so today, the only application of this today would be where she makes a neder under the chuppah when they're reading the ksuba. Right, today, if you wanted to find an application of this bizman hazeh, there's a woman under the chuppah, the boy, it's the chassan says to her, and she accepts it, and they're married. And then they call up someone to read the ksuba. While the fellow is reading the ksuba, she's getting bored. And she says, I take a vow that this guy who's reading the ksuba, he will not be permitted to read the ksuba by our children. Does the husband at that moment in time have the right to be made for the neder? They're not yet married because they did not yet recite the seven blessings. She's only an arusa. So here it says, Aviv, under the chuppah, while they're reading the ksuba, that's the moment of erisin. And then, yes, Zarusa, he can be mefer. Or maybe not. Maybe the husband only kicks in after the nesun. That's the next pasuk. It says later on in pasuk, Yud Aleph. That discusses when she's fully married. Hare nesu amur. V'kan barusa. Uvas, why do we need two pasukim? Let the Torah only say the pasuk of erisin and not say the madach. Why only one or the other? No. And we're coming over here to the friendship between her father and her husband. He explains. What are we doing? Hefer ha'ov. Well, he's not explaining that point. Obviously, it's you would not know one from the other. They're very different. The stage of marriage of erisin is not the same situation as nisuin. Therefore, the Torah needed to tell us in both of these stages, a husband has the power to annul his wife's vows for that day, the day that he hears it. And now Rashi is summarizing the laws. Over here, bo lachlek, ben shavia u ben bo shavia u ba'la mefir nidorecha. Both her father and her husband have power to annul her vows. However, there's a difference. Hefer ha'av, v'lei hefer ha'bal, v'lei hefer ha'bal, v'lei hefer ha'av. Now, in this state, I wasn't explaining it correctly. When the woman is in a state of erusin, and she's 12, between the age of 12 and 12 years and 6 months, or she's mature from the age of 11, and she takes a vow, then she is still under the jurisdiction of two men, her husband and her father. Once a woman has nisuin, she's completely out of her father's domain. If she's not married, of course, she's under only under the authority of her father. But a woman who is not yet 12 and a half years old and has only had the first half of marriage, the erusin, is under the jurisdiction of two men. And if she takes a vow at that moment in time, both of them must agree to annul her vow. Look at the words of Rashi. Hefer ha'av v'loy hefer ha'bal. Oy hefer ha'bal v'loy hefer ha'av. Harei ze einoy mufar. The ein tzarech loymar. And here's a, this is a chiddush, Rashi says. Im kiyem echoy mehem. This is a law that Rashi did not teach us until now, that if a woman takes a vow, and she's a 11, let's say, during those 18 months, or a wife takes a vow, and her husband hears, or her father hears, and he says, excellent, yokum loch, this vow that you have taken that you will never eat chocolate, let it be fulfilled. Yokum loch. Once the husband, the father, hears, and he says, yes, I confirm the vow, it is impossible for the father or the husband to annul it, even though it's within the day, the first day that he hears the vow. Once he confirms, it's beyond repair. I mean, she can go to the chacham, the mataned, but the husband no longer. So here's a chiddush. If we have a woman that's in this quasi state, she's in the middle, and she's under the jurisdiction of two men, her father and her husband. And one of them hears about it and confirms it and says, yes, excellent. It's it. It's a done deal. The other partner can no longer undo it. If one of them is quiet, he has a whole day until the day ends. And if he decides he wants it annulled, that's not sufficient. The other partner must also consent that it should be annulled. So for it to be annulled, they both must annul. They both must cancel it. But if one cancels and one does not cancel, nothing. Then she remains in the state of prohibition. And a bigger chiddush, if one of them actually confirms the vow, then it's confirmed, and the other person is powerless to stop it from happening. That's what he's saying. Her vows are upon her. Okay, so what does it mean over here that she made the vow? That she made it when it was her father's home and her father did not hear it. And it was not. So he's explaining a very important word in this Rav Pasuk. Go back to Pasuk Zayin, as we read the Pasuk. If this woman got married, Rashi is telling us that it's written in the past tense. The teachers say chiddush lahalacha. The chiddush lahalacha is that the husband, she could have made this vow when she was in her father's home before she got married. Doesn't matter. If her husband finds out about this vow now, while they are in a state of erusin, even though she did not make the vow at the time that they were married, it doesn't matter. The husband can annul the vow. Now, that's a very big chiddush. The reason why that's a very, very big chiddush is because the Gemara says the reason why the father and the husband are permitted, have the power to annul this woman's vow, is because when a woman takes a vow, in the back of her mind, she stipulates it will only be true if my father agrees, if my husband agrees. That's the nature of women. I know you'll say that this is a racist statement, because men, there is no such thing. Men are not dependent. When man makes a decision, he doesn't care what anyone thinks. This is what I want to do. It's not going to be dependent upon what someone else has to say. That's a man. But a woman, the Gemara says this, when she makes a decision, she takes a vow, she, in the back of her mind, I don't want it to be 100% as a vow. Let's see what my father says. Let's see what my husband says. Now, if you take that argument to its natural conclusion, then this halacha does not make any sense. Because when she made this vow, she was in her father's home. She was thinking about what will dad say about this vow. Husband? She doesn't have a husband. She didn't meet him yet. She hasn't gone out on a date. She doesn't know who she's going to marry. She doesn't know. So then you're telling me that if the next day her father says, I just met this young man, I want you to marry him, and they meet, and they have Erison, all of a sudden now this young man can go and annul the vow that she made before she even knew that he existed. That doesn't make any sense. If the whole lumdus, the logic is because when a woman makes a vow, she's thinking about her husband, thinking about her father, but in this case, she could not possibly be thinking about her husband. So the answer has to be, this is a very disturbing answer, is that it's not about him, but Moshe. It's about my man, about my husband. When a woman makes a vow, she says in her mind, you know, I have to see who I marry. Maybe the man, that mystery man who I don't, Prince Charming, I haven't not met, I don't even know who he exists. My husband, whoever that theoretical person will be, he has to agree to it. If not for this halacha, you would say that it's not a matter of an abstract concept of getting married. But she has to be able to see the personality, the character trait of her husband, and say, will my husband, will Moshe, will he be maskim to my vow? This halacha teaches you that's not the case. When the woman makes a vow, she says, listen, theoretically, I'm now in Beis Yaakov. I'm learning in school. And one day, my father's going to find for me a nice shidduch. Whoever it is, he's just a piece of meat. He wears pants. He wears a jacket, has a black hat, and he shuckles. That's all I need. He's like, psha. It's cold, he shuckles, and if you try to warm him up, he gets ruined. That is enough in her mind, what she's looking for, in order that it should be that it should be a connection. All right, it's 8:00. We have to stop here. Boys, I thank you so much for joining me. Have a wonderful night. Be well.
That's why if the husband dies, then she's still guilty. She has to keep. She can't say, "Well, he died, so mom, not chayiv anymore." He divorces her. It's too bad. There's nobody to expunge the promise. She has to keep it.
That's to keep it. Yeah. Because it was at that point in time, she only had kavana for her husband.
Good night.
Be well.
Good night.
Good night. Mayor, what's new with you? How are you, Mayor? What's doing?
I want to ask Norman for. Are you still there, Norman? From Montreal? Did he hang up?
He's still here, but he's not. Is he responding?
Norman, you know a guy, Rabbi Eisen, who died in your town? Yaakov Eisen? Avram Eisen's father lives in Montreal and he died.